Okay, so like I said, Vayishlach is filled with fantastic Rambans. Really, every one of them is a gold mine. I chose one. It's one of the longer ones. It's probably one of the ones that's most important. And I think, interestingly enough, it'll offer us a little bit of a different perspective on Ramban, which will begin maybe something that he's going to be doing much more throughout the Torah. What we've been used to so far is the Ramban explaining stories, analyzing stories, you know, criticizing on occasion some of our greatest leaders, showing how the Torah is trying to teach us moral lessons. But most of the Torah, as we know, unlike Sefer Bereishis, is really not filled with stories. There are still stories, notably in Shemos and in Bamidbar specifically, but certainly Vayikra and Devarim, and large parts of Shemos and Bamidbar have no stories at all. And the Ramban is not just a master parshan in terms of reading stories. He's also that same author of the Chiddushei Ramban al Hashas brings it to the table when he goes and he analyzes the halachic portions of the Torah. So this one's a fascinating piece. I alluded to it earlier in the year, which combines both of these components, both in terms of him understanding a story, as well as him being a halachic authority. Here we're going to see him at both his strengths taking on the Rambam. Okay? Are we ready? The story with Shechem and Dinah is one of the strangest stories, at least in my opinion, in the Torah. I wrote a whole Bible paper on it once when I was in YU. It's really, really fascinating. Every part of it can be analyzed. The part that I want to focus on is one of the largest issues which the Ramban brings to the surface. Okay? The Ramban begins. Paragam and Dalit, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'rabim yishalu. Many ask. You know, not even anybody by name, because there are so many that ask this question. V'eich asu b'nei Yaakov hatzadikim hamaisa hazeh lishpoch dam naki. How could these holy people, they were the children of Yaakov, they were tzadikim. Now, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah they were tzadikim, but it's obvious from the fact that they were the progenitors of the B'nai Yisrael that Hashem considered them to be tzadikim. How could such righteous people massacre innocent civilians? Is this ISIS? Really, what are we dealing with over here? They just killed them. Maybe Shechem, maybe that makes sense, you know, because after all, he was a pretty big lowlife. And he raped their sister. But the whole city? To massacre them? It's a very strong question. And at this point, I'd like to note that if you look at this story, I've seen this in a bunch of different places, that the entire story with Shechem is very ambiguous. No one is a clear-cut hero, and nobody is a clear-cut villain when you think about it. Even Shechem, who you think is, he raped a girl. But very different, even though there are many comparisons between the story that we find in Shmuel, how one of David's own sons raped his half-sister, Amnon raped Tamar. There are many parallels between this story. Nonetheless, in that story, we see that Amnon afterwards hated Tamar. He wanted to throw her out, and he hated her more than he ever even loved her. Yet here, the Torah tells us that Shechem loved Dinah, and he wanted to marry her. And he went about doing so in a peaceful way. And him and Hamor actually tried to engage the Bnei Yaakov in conversation, and they were willing to even commit to giving themselves bris milah. They weren't the worst people, but clearly, they weren't that good either. He still raped her. And throughout the story, everybody who's involved, Dinah was wrong for going out, yet then again, she was an innocent victim. Yaakov was seemingly too silent, yet, he's Yaakov Avinu. And he clearly knew what he was doing, and as we'll see, he was clearly the most righteous in the situation. Shimon and Levi seemingly are acting for the good of their sister, but on the other hand, this question is glaring us in the face. They massacred innocent civilians. So, how are we to understand this, perhaps, most primary question in the story? Good people killing people wantonly. The Ramban begins by quoting the Rambam. Not Mor Nevuchim, as he often is quoting the Rambam from when he quotes him in the Torah, but here from his actual halachic work, the Mishnah Torah. Barav Heshev, the Sefer Shoftim, the Rambam mentions in the last Sefer of the 14 books, Sefer Shoftim, in Hilchos Malachim, the last of the last. Ba'omar, Shebnei Noach Mitzuvim Aladina. In the ninth paragraph, the Rambam is talking all about the Sheva Mitzvot Tanei Noach. He says one of the mitzvot is to have courts. Behul Hoshiv Dayanim Bechol Plach Uplach, to set up court systems in every single province. Ladon B'sheish Mitzvot Shelhem. The way the Rambam understands it is that that mitzvah is to upkeep the other six. The Rambam explains. Uben Noach Sh'ovar Al Achas Mehen Hu Nehrag B'Sayv. And any one of the Bnei Noach that violates one of those six mitzvot is Chayiv Misa by sword. Ra Echad Sh'ovar Al Achas Mehen. And similarly, if somebody, one of the Bnei Noach, sees another Ben Noach that violates one of these mitzvos, below Danuhu, and he does not judge him, Lahargo, to kill him, Hare Zeh HaRoa, the one who saw that action, What happens to him? Yehoreg Vesayev. He also gets killed. Why? The Rambam's formulation, his equation, is pretty simple. There are 6 mitzvot. If you violate them, you get killed. The 7th mitzvah is to upkeep those 6. But if you don't upkeep those 6, what have you done? You violated the 7th mitzvah of making sure that there's a court system. And then what happens to you? You're Chayav Misa yourself. So the Rambam plugs that into this story. And because of this reason, Nischayvu kol bali shechem hariga. They all were Chayav Misa. Why do they all deserve to die? Not just Shechem, but the entire populace. Why? Because Shehare Shechem Gozal. Because Shechem stole. Heim Ra'u, B'yadu, B'lodanuhu. They saw, they knew, and they didn't judge. Therefore, they were all Chayav for the 7th mitzvah. Shechem was Chayav, one of the 7 mitzvahs B'nei Noach, is not to steal. And they saw him do that, they didn't judge him, and therefore they too were Chayav Misa. And of course, Shimon and Levi then, quite simply, were acting in accordance with halacha. They didn't massacre innocent civilians. They killed people that deserved to die. You know, they were the executioner for death row. Very strange. For a lot of reasons. This opinion of the Rambam is fascinating. We'll pause for a moment. But one thing that is just notable that I just highlighted there, he says that Shechem stole. Would you have thought that this was about stealing? I don't know. You would have thought maybe it's Giloy Arayos, perhaps, that he raped her. That it's stealing is a pretty interesting formulation. And others pick up on this. The Meiri in specific. And he comments on the fact that included within Gezel is not just the basic mitzvah of stealing, like actually taking money, but the Rambam's worldview includes also kidnapping. And there are a bunch of other proofs for this as well. But the Rambam groups kidnapping under the general idea of Gezel, which, as we know, the Lo Tigzel in the Aseres Dibros actually refers to kidnapping in the first ones, in the one in Yisra. So it makes sense. But basically, since Shechem didn't, not just in the rape of Dina, but the fact that he kept her in his palace and kidnapped her, that was the reason why he deserved to die. Everybody else deserved to die because they did not stop him. Simply put, Rambam's opinion is they deserve to die, and therefore there's no question at all. Let's move on. The Ramban attacks. These aren't correct. This makes no sense. Why not? 2 reasons. Number 1. She'im Cain. Haya Yaakov Avinu Chayav La'iyos Kodem V'zocha B'misasam. Yaakov Avinu was the God of Adar. Great job. Yaakov Avinu was the God of Adar. Of course he would have gone and done the right thing to do, assuming it was the right thing to do. But the fact that Yaakov sat there on his laurels and didn't get up there to go and kill them all clearly means it was not the right thing to do. That's question number 1. And now you might ask yourself, well, okay, fine, that's a nice idea, but you know, if you read the shot of the Pesukim, it sounds like Yaakov was a little bit afraid. You know, he was unclear exactly to him what the best course of action was, and his sons were more decisive than him. So perhaps, you know, Yaakov chickened out. Okay, it's possible Yaakov was a great man. Maybe he messed up in this one regard. Maybe he sinned. Nerman doesn't think that at first. But he's saying, you know what, even if maybe Yaakov didn't act appropriately, v'im pachad mehem, continuing on, and if he was afraid, well, question number 2 is, l'makas albanav, why would he yell at his sons? Just because he chickened out, but they did the right thing. Is that reason for him to yell at them? V'ororapam, and he cursed their anger after kamazman, numerous times. V'onashosam, v'chalkam v'yitfitzam, he punished them, he spread them out in B'nai Yisrael, he spread them out that neither of them, neither Shimon nor Levi, have normal nachalot in Eretz Yisrael. Levi, as we know, has his 48 cities, the 42 plus the 6. And Shimon actually only has a few scattered cities in Shevet Yehuda's portion. Yaakov punished them severely for this action. Clearly, then, they did not do the right thing, even after the fact. Yaakov didn't just fail to act. He also felt afterwards they were still wrong. And therefore, the Ramban believes that the Rambam's shot is just untenable. Anybody notice anything interesting about this attack? As opposed to the stories where we've had in the past, where it makes perfect sense. If the Ramban's trying to explain something for us, if the Ramban's trying to explain what's shot in a story, so how would he go about doing so? He'd attack it, as we said, from, you know, a logical basis, from other Ma'amari Chazal, from other incidents in Tanakh, historical basis. There's a lot of ways he would attack it. But think about a halachic attack. Over here, he's talking about halacha. This is Mishnah Torah. The Rambam writes, the halacha is when a ben Noach fails to do the 7th mitzvah of Dinan, so then he's Chayav Misa. How does the Rambam attack him? From a story in the Torah. From 2 things. So you know, you might learn nice Musar lessons from a story in the Torah. But is that the strongest way to attack something halachically? Why doesn't he quote a Gemara? Maybe because there's no Gemara against the Rambam. Maybe there are Gemaras in support of the Rambam. Why doesn't he quote a Mechilta, a Medrash Halacha? Maybe because the Rambam has more backing than him. Which is interesting that the Ramban is willing to take on the Rambam from a halachic perspective, even though his halachic, you know, ammo isn't really that strong. He's asking based off 2 stories and 2 questions from a story. Another point I think worth highlighting is the fact that the Ramban, you see something which I think is fundamental. One thing I want you guys to take away from this year is something very special about the Ramban's perspective when he reads the Torah. Rashi, let's say, for example, or the Rashbam, often they'll say things which aren't accepted lahalacha. They'll explain pshat in the pasuk off of a medrash, which maybe they think is accomplishing something in terms of pshat, but it's actually how we paskin. If you try to paskin out of a Rashi and a Chumash, you're pretty silly, because Rashi never meant for you to do so. He's telling you how to read the pasukim, maybe on one level of explanation, but not how you should live your life. Not in terms of what's actually the halacha. There are many times we'll paskin like a minority opinion. He'll bring that in because he thinks it fits better with the pshat in the pasuk. The Ramban is very different. The Ramban believes that the actual halacha, the drash that Chazal used in order to understand the halacha, is actually very, very close, bubbling right beneath the surface of pshat. So if something does not fit with pshat in the pasuk and halacha, the Ramban is going to work very hard to show how actually the halacha is really the more accurate pshat. And therefore, I think it fits over here that he says, based off the story, if something won't work out la halacha, then that shows you that that's either not the right halacha or somehow we're misunderstanding the story. But there's a tension that the Ramban specifically feels. So, what does the Ramban think? He's going to first start off with how he understands the mitzvah of Dinan, and then afterwards he's going to have to get back to how to explain the story, right? Simply, the Ramban used this understanding of Dinan to explain the story. The Ramban argues on his explanation of Dinan, but then the Ramban still hasn't answered the story. So the Ramban's going to have to then go back and deal with the story. So first he explains, what does he think the actual mitzvah of Dinan is? The Ramban says something which maybe you guys can help me out. It's rather unclear to me what exactly he means. I have two options. I have one that I lean towards more, but I looked at my notes for my Chumash from a long time ago, and my old leaning towards was the other option. So I'm in Suffolk. Maybe you can help. The Ramban says, "Ba'al dati hadinin shemanu lebnei Noach b'sheva mitzvah shelhen." It's not just a set of court systems. That's true too, but that's not the extent of it. Rather, avot tziva osam bedine gneva veona veoshek v'schar sachir bedine hashomer, etc. etc. Ones pata nizikin chova b'chavero milva v'lova mekachememkar, everything like that. The Ramban says that the bnei Noach included in their mitzvah of dinim have all these other mitzvahs, pretty much all of chosh and mishpat. Right, a lot of mitzvahs asei deraisa, a lot of mitzvahs los asei deraisa, included under their category of dinim. So what does the Ramban mean by this? I've heard different people say different things, and I myself have two different options. I'll suggest the two. You let me know which one you think is more right. On one hand, the Ramban could be saying they actually have the exact same mitzvahs which we have. Meaning to say, open up a chosha mishpat, and a guy is equally as chayv in chosha mishpat as you are. I mean, maybe on a different level, we as Bnei Israel, them as Bnei Noach, but his falls under one of his mitzvot, and every law in Chosha Mishpat, whatever the Netzivos and Ketzos end up, you know, arguing out whichever one's right, that applies to a guy too. They have our Chosha Mishpat, pretty much. And it falls under that. And that is a little bit what he sounds like. He says, Aval Tziva Osam Medina Geneva, they have all these things, Ke'inyan Hadin and Shenistav Yisrael, just as the Bnei Israel were judged. Or else does the Ramban mean something much more fascinating? Is the Ramban telling us that actually as part of the mitzvah of Dinan that the Bnei Noach have is to set up not exactly our laws, they don't have our laws, but a comparable system of law, one which is parallel to that which the Bnei Israel have, although it doesn't have to be exactly the same. I mean, similar, which would come out with a fascinating nafkamina. You might think that, you know, the most, I don't know if any of your fathers are doctors or lawyers, but many people think, oh, it's one of the greatest things my father has to be a doctor. Oh, wow, to have the job of a doctor, not only are you, you know, earning a livelihood for your family, beautiful, but you're also helping people. Ah, that's such a great mitzvah. So you think that, and it's definitely true. I don't mean to denigrate that. But think about it for a guy. What would be better for a guy? To work as a judge? To work as a lawyer? A lawyer? You know, everybody thinks lawyers are the worst of people. To work as a lawyer? Or to work as a doctor? Well, he doesn't really have any mitzvah, per se, to, you know, heal people. That's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs, Noah. But according to this interpretation of the Ramban, every aspect of him helping to contribute to the building of a legislature, one that's civil, and that what makes sense, and will help keep people in order, that will stop them from doing Onah and Gezel, that is a fulfillment of one of his mitzvos. So you tell me. According to that second interpretation of the Ramban, it seems like a guy who works in a law office, perhaps, and helps uphold law and helps write laws, would actually be fulfilling a mitzvah. According to this interpretation of the Ramban, as opposed to the first interpretation where they just have Chosha Mishpat, they don't gain anything for creating mitzvos, for creating these laws of theirs. Personally, I'll tell you which side I'm leaning towards. I think the latter side is more correct. Even though he says like those of the Bnei Israel, he means comparable to the Bnei Israel, how we have a whole set of civil law. And the reason why I think so is because it makes more sense to fall under the general rubric of Dinin. Why? What's the fundamental obligation of Dinin? Even the Ramban agrees, it means to set up court systems, right? The actual mitzvah is to set up court systems. And the Ramban is suggesting that under that is actually a much broader thing, which includes whatever we're saying here. So now, which one of the two options makes more sense? If the mitzvah is to set up a court system, so is it sensible that he would think under that mitzvah is also that they have to actually abide by a lot of civil law? Or that they have a mitzvah to create a civil law system? So to me, I think it fits better with that understanding of the Ramban, although I admit it's not absolutely clear to me. Anyhow, the Ramban continues. He said that you would get killed if you violated any one of these mitzvahs as a Bnei Noach. However, he says that in terms of judging court cases, and this is where he's going to argue on the Rambam now again, Vim lo asu kein ein harogin. But if they don't set up court cases, and therefore the Rambam's point that if they should have judged somebody and they didn't judge that person, are they chayim misa? The Rambam said, yes, you should have judged them. That's what your obligation of dina means. The Ramban says, maybe you should have, but you're not chayim misa for that. Why? Finally. The Ramban gives us a halachic source. He quotes a Bavli, Gemara in Sanhedrin, which tells us, those few, I think it's four blot over there, in Sanhedrin, which discuss all about the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Fascinating, fascinating sugyos. So, in that discussion over there, they explain that the rule by Goyim is Azhara son, Zuhi Misa son. That when they have an obligation, a prohibition not to do something, then they are automatically Chayiv Misa for that. That's why you might be surprised that Goy is Chayiv Misa if he steals, as opposed to we, Jews, who are not Chayiv Misa if we steal. Because any obligation that the Goyim have, if they fail on it, they're Chayiv Misa. That discussion is for another time. Okay? But the language of the Gemara is Azhara son. That their prohibitions, the things that they're warned not to do, are what caused them to be chayav misa. As opposed to positive commandments they might have, like making court systems, which is a mitzvah's aseh of them, they have six los aseh and one aseh, that are they chayav misa they don't do, if they're mevatel that aseh? The Ramban thinks not. And therefore, the Rambam's answer isn't available there. Why were Shimon and Levi allowed to kill all these people? The Rambam said, because they were chayav misa for not having acted here. But the Ramban holds, they're not chayav misa if they don't act. Maybe they're supposed to act, but they're not chayav misa for not acting. And therefore, to the Ramban, he's explaining the halacha differently than the Rambam, but now he's left with the same question he started off with. Before he goes on to explain his own pshat, he goes and he brings another proof to his own pshat. He brings a Yerushalmi, another halachic text. And he says that the Yerushalmi shows us that if a guy misapprobates some funds from one person to another person, you know, he misuses his position of power, and he goes and he acts inappropriately in justice, that is something that he'd be chayav misa. There he's violating a los aseh of doing oshek, of doing gezel. But if he simply backs out of a court case because he's afraid of some of the litigants, as very well might have happened, you know, for the people in Shechem to go and attack their king, their leader, their prince, because he acted inappropriately, most likely the guards will stop him, kill him, instead of letting him kill Shechem. So, if a guy is afraid to actually fulfill this mitzvah of dinim, he's not chayiv in doing so. As opposed to Bnei Yisrael, who actually have a chiyuv to go ahead and do so. I actually spoke about this during one of the night seders I covered for Rabbi Yitzchak Shir this year. But the idea that a Jew has an obligation, once they enter a court case, they have to follow through. But a guy has no such obligation. Okay? So that's what the Rambam goes and shows, a second proof against the Rambam from the Yerushalmi, that a guy doesn't actually have a chiyuv, even within his idea of dinim, to go and judge somebody he's afraid of. Overall, we see the Rambam's answer to this question, this formidable question, a very hard question to answer. How could Shimon and Levi massacre innocent civilians? Rambam says, because of the fact that they were all actually not innocent, they were chayav misa. Why? Because they failed to fulfill the mitzvah of dinim. The Rambam understands dinim totally differently. He thinks that it's a mitzvah for them to create a civil law system and to create court systems. Now, that doesn't mean they're allowed to warp justice, but it definitely means that they're not chayav misa if they don't go ahead and do justice. Why? Because it's not say of theirs. Fine. But we are now left with the same initial question. The hard, hard question of how could Shimon and Levi have murdered so many innocent people? There are a lot of answers given. You might not find the Ramban that satisfying. Maybe you like the Rambams more. But let's see what the Ramban says. I'm going to skip to the paragraph of Aval Inyan Shechem. The previous paragraph, he's attacking the Rambam for another point, but we're running out of time. Aval inyan Shechem, what's going on in Shechem? Ki b'nei Yaakov bavor shehayu anshei Shechem rishayim v'damim chashav lahem kimayim ratu li'inakim mehem b'cherev no kemes. What's going on in Shechem? The b'nei Yaakov did not care at all about the lives of the people in Shechem. Why not? They were rishayim gemurim, as one of the things that Ramban mentioned in the previous paragraph, which I just skipped. But one of the things that Ramban mentions there is about how, why is the Rambam looking so hard to find some sin that the people of Shechem deserve to die for? They were Canaanim. Do you know who these people were? They're some of the most barbaric, primitive, evil people to ever live. They all did Avodah Zarah. They all did Arkeel Arash. They all stole and raped and did terrible things. So why does the Rambam have to come up with this idea of Dinim to say that they're Chai Misa? The Ramban says, it's obvious why they're Chai Misa. Because they were terrible, horrible people who violated all the seven mitzvot B'nai Noach all the time. The Ramban thinks that therefore, since these people were all decrepit and deserved to die anyhow, on numerous accounts, Shimon and Levi maybe didn't have to kill them to fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim because they failed on the mitzvah of Dinim. But Shimon and Levi just didn't care about their lives. Their lives were meaningless. They could let their blood spill like water, as the Ramban puts it. Which is interesting. Again, we're talking about, you know, seemingly innocent people. And again, Yaakov's going to disagree. But Shimon and Levi believed that their lives were meaningless and they could just let it spill. Why would they do so? The Ramban just told us. Out of revenge, as the Pesukim explained, they wanted to take out their revenge on these people. Why on the people? Why not just on Shechem? The Ramban continues. They killed the Melech, obviously, Shechem and Hamor, because they were the involved parties. But all the people too. Why? Because they are servants. Vesarim el mashma so, and they would have listened to him. Ve'ena bris asher nemulu nechsha ve'enam le'uma. They didn't care about the bris that they had signed to them at all. Another thing that Shimon and Levi apparently didn't feel that it was worthwhile for them to uphold their word, this lie that they did with the people of Shechem, apparently they didn't care about because these people were such rishon. Again, this is a very dangerous track to walk down. You don't want to say people who are bad, yeah, you don't have to be nice to them, you can steal from them. You know, sometimes you hear that and it's just like, oh yeah, you know, I can steal from them, they're just good. Not true. That is not halakhically true, not morally true. Neither of those are true. But the Ramban is coming pretty close to that. I mean, he's saying that they were super decrepit, and therefore Shimon and Levi could just kill them and lie to them. But still, it's not necessarily the most satisfying. I found it a little bit troublesome. Obviously, Yaakov did too, but still, even as a rationale for what these great tzaddikim might have been doing is a little bit hard for me to handle. Okay, continuing on. Now he explains, why was Yaakov upset? Yaakov wasn't actually so upset at them just because they killed these people, because after all, they did deserve to die, as the Ramban was just saying. But why was Yaakov so angry at them? Yaakov Amar Lahen, Bekan. Reason number one. Ki hevi uhu besakana. They put Yaakov in danger. Now, after they wiped out this whole city, what's going to happen? All the nearby cities, all their neighboring cities, are going to come and try to seek retribution against the Bnei Yaakov for wiping out these people, their neighbors, their friends. That's reason one, number one, why Yaakov got upset. Because Shimon and Levi put their entire family in jeopardy. Maybe they would die now because of their actions. And therefore he cursed their anger. And now, additionally, he says, the second reason why I was upset was because of that second point that I was just talking about beforehand. That they broke their word. What do they need to go and do this whole lie for? Okay, maybe you think that you can kill them because they're Chai Misa anyhow. That doesn't mean you have a right to lie to them. If they're Chai Misa, so they deserve to die. Doesn't mean you could torture them. Doesn't mean you could, you know, lie to them and steal from them or whatever else it would be. Chai Misa means Chai Misa and just that. It doesn't mean that you have a right to go ahead and steal from them or lie to them, as they did in this instance. So that was also the second reason why he got upset at them, for them not having kept their word. And he explains further. He says it was wasteful. These people had already shown a willingness to join the Bnei Yisrael, as the Pesukim clearly indicate. They actually even gave themselves Bris Milah. Fascinatingly, although I don't know really, I don't have a good answer how to square them off, the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi tells us that many of them actually truly converted. And they were really full-fledged Jews at that point. At which point, Shimon and Levi's sin goes well beyond what we thought of just killing people who were innocent. Now here, you know, even if you say, oh, they weren't really so innocent, it was Chai Misa, well, now they converted. At which point, maybe the sin is even worse. But that's the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi. Over here, the Ramban says, since maybe they would have converted, maybe they would have gone and turned to Hashem, they were already showing that willingness, so therefore the sin was even more wanton. They wastefully killed these people who one day could have become good people. So it was unnecessary, and that's why Yaakov got upset. And now he ends off with some fascinating bit of Parshana, quoting from something called the Sefer Mochamos Bnei Yaakov. Now, I don't know exactly what this text is. I tried looking it up on Wikipedia. There's actually a lot more to these stories. Fascinating, midrashic-like material all about the wars that the Bnei Yaakov fought against the Canaanim during this time when they were there. and how they soundly defeated the Canaanim. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know. I mean, it's clearly ancient. It's clearly before the time of the Ramban. It was something well known. But you see, he's willing to go ahead and quote outside sources sometimes. Although, interestingly, he phrases, v'im namen, if we choose to believe. And he's not saying that this historical book which he found, you know, was necessarily authoritative. He's saying, and even if we were, what happened after this destruction of Shechem? Exactly Yaakov's fears. All the enemies from all around the surrounding area came and attacked the Bnei Yaakov. And they came and attacked Yaakov. And he quotes Midrashim, and he even quotes Rashi later on, who says that Yaakov Avinu got up there with his sword and his bow, and that's what the Pasuk says, that Nebacharbi Bakashti. Yaakov went, and he did battle. And he fought them all off. And in fact, when the Parsha ends off and says that, you know, right after the story, the simple shot might have been that, you know, all the, that Hashem was protecting them because he caused this fear to go on the neighboring people, so that way they wouldn't go and try to take retribution from the Bnei Yisrael. However, the Ramban understands it as saying, because Hashem helped the Bnei Yaakov fend off these hordes of enemies who came on them, onslaught after onslaught, trying to go and kill them all, and they failed. The Bnei Yaakov successfully defeated all of them. Because of that amazing miracle, so that's why the Bnei Yisrael were not attacked by all the neighboring people any longer. Because they were all terrified of the Bnei Yisrael, because the Bnei Yisrael had so effectively defeated them already up to this point. So, you see that Yaakov's fears were actually indeed founded. Yaakov had two issues with what Shimon ben Levi did. Number one was that they had now caused them to be attacked. And in fact, we see that happen. And they had successfully fended them off. Yeah, but that was an amazing miracle that Hashem protected them. And it wasn't something that they should have relied on or put themselves into that sakana. That's how the Ramban understands this part of the story. There's much more to the story. The beginning and the end connect neatly with how the Ramban understands it over here. Unfortunately, we don't have time for that. And I wanted to specifically highlight this different understanding of the Rambam and the Ramban in terms of the mitzvah of Dinam, of Sheva Mitzvah Noah. And again, beginning to show how the Ramban believes that the Pshat and the Halacha are very, very close. And if they're not, then there's a tension which he's going to have to solve. Show how Pshat is actually more like the Halacha, or show how the Halacha is actually not that way, and is more like Pshat. So the Ramban is doing that over here. It's something that we'll see much more of, God willing, later in the year. The other Ramban that I put in here, again, Vayishlach has so many good Rambans. If anybody wants to come up for more of them, I'll try to point out to you, you know, maybe like the booklet if you can, I'll try to show you which ones are really key. But this one I just put, the Hakdama Sefer Vayishlach, to Parshas Vayishlach. Sometimes we get lucky and the Ramban gives us a sort of overview ahead of time. He does it for each one of the Sfarim in the Torah, for each one of the new Sfarim, Bereishis, Shmos, he gives a Hakdama. But sometimes for a Parsha or two, he'll go in and give a little Hakdama. So he does that so for Vayishlach. And he explains what was going on over here. The very beginning of the Parsha, when Yaakov goes out to encounter Esav. Why did the Torah care to tell us this? What can we learn from the story? And it fits in with the idea of Maisa Avos Sonu L'Banim, as we had talked about in the past, about how the things that happened to our ancestors will also occur to us in the way that a Navi does a symbolic act, which somehow causes it to come into the actual reality. But he also interweaves here another component of Maisa Avos Sonu L'Banim, which is fascinating to see. And I think it's worthwhile if anybody gets a chance to. Yesher Koach.
I take
please. Yeah, anybody who wants any of these notes.